RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
It's Wednesday morning. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for choosing to spend your Wednesday with us. Take you around 10, get you ready for the night in sports. Got LeBron in D.C. taking on the Washington Wizards. The suddenly mediocre Washington Wizards. I say that as a compliment. They were scraping the bottom of the barrel for a while. Went on a little run there, a little mini run of almost 500 basketball. Keeping an eye on the Caps as well, as they fell to Buffalo last night, entering a crucial juncture for their playoff hopes. Not a sure thing by any stretch, as they play 4 games in 6 days back tomorrow night against the Penguins rivalry game. Big game. Penguins are out of the hunt, but no doubt would delight in knocking the Capitals down a peg. Kickers won last night in the U.S. Open Cup 5-2 over Maryland. They'll continue playing in that competition next game in a couple weeks. And Flying Squirrels open on Friday night. Excited for that. Just got the email during the break. We'll be out at the Diamond next Tuesday doing the show live 10 to noon. That's opening day. And you heard Trey Wilson on the show yesterday. Tickets are going fast. You don't expect to just walk up to the door and buy a ticket. That's how it works other nights. Not opening night, not July 4th. Can't do it on either of those days. Got to plan ahead. I'm not a planner, admittedly. But for you non-planners like me, that's what you got to do. You got to be ready. You got to get your tickets in advance. Got to make your plans, get your babysitter, do all the things. It's not an impulse decision to go to the game like it is most nights. Weather looks like it'll be beautiful for opening night next week. All right, Kevin Sheehan is on our sister station up in D.C. Always enjoy his program. He's on here from time to time, knows his football. Had Greg Holcomb on his show. Greg is J.J. McCarthy's personal quarterbacks coach, and this is very common in recent years, right? Because there's the rules about when you can work out with your college coach, when you can work out with your pro coach. Most of these guys have a separate second personal coach who works with them on an individual basis, either during the week or the offseason or whatever it is. That's Greg Holcomb for J.J. McCarthy of Michigan, who was not in the mix, in the buzz for these top three picks, right? We've been talking about Caleb Williams at one, and then Drake May and Jaden Daniels in whichever order they go at 2 and 3. But you've heard just the buzz ramp up for J.J. McCarthy. He's testing well. He's combining well. He's interviewing well. Teams are falling in love with him. And this is what Greg Holcomb had to say about Washington at number 2, which now has been mentioned with J.J. McCarthy a couple times. This was on the Kevin Sheehan show.
I do know that Jim told me there was a very positive conversation with the Washington people at the NFL Combine, and they just said a lot of really nice things about JJ, that he checks all these boxes and it will be hard for anybody to pass on him. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're telling that to a lot of people, and they've probably got to make sure that they're, you know, including everyone. But it sounds like there's a handful of specific teams that are really kind of, you know, in the wheelhouse to grab him.
And you think, based on that, Washington's one of them?
I do. And I
It's sounds like a good date, right? Yeah, I think things went well. They hit it off. Got a maybe a second date in the offing. Maybe JJ McCarthy coming to Ashburn, see the place. Hopefully they tidy it up a bit before he arrives, because it's a bit of a dump right now. But that's all right. It's the draft. He has to go where they take him. I think two things here. One, very good caveat there by Greg Holcomb. I'm sure they say that to a lot of guys. Yeah, it's like at a concert. You guys have been the best crowd ever. We love you, Cleveland. Yeah, they say that in every city. They do. Except Richmond. When they say it in Richmond, they mean it. You know they mean it when they say it in Richmond. Other places, they're lying. Richmond, they mean it. I'm sure they say it to a lot of people. Number two, it is to the Commanders' absolute advantage to have the rest of the league thinking they might pick J.J. McCarthy with the number two draft pick. Because anybody who's in love with J.J. McCarthy is on notice. You got to trade up to number two to get him. If you want that guy, you gotta have that pick, because they might just do it. But number three, and this is the most interesting thing, I think, to tease out of this whole exercise, what if they really do like J.J. McCarthy? And what if they really do want to draft him? And now, I'm not talking about number two. I'm talking about how far could you move down? How far could you go and still get J.J. McCarthy, right? And now we're playing a really dangerous game, but one that could be potentially very profitable for the Washington Commanders and for Adam Peters. Because we know lots of teams want Jaden Daniels. I think the Commanders want Jaden Daniels. I think they'll turn the card in for him. But lots of teams want Jaden Daniels. Lots of teams want to get up to number two. The Patriots are at number three. It's hard to see them not taking Drake May in a situation where they can take Drake May, right? Tease this out further. The Cardinals are up next. They don't need a quarterback. You got to think they go Marvin Harrison Jr. He's the best player in this draft. You're getting the best player in the draft to pick number four. Let's go. And then the Vikings, they need to get up. Could they trade with the Cardinals? Is it possible the Cardinals would move out of pick four? Could the Raiders get into pick four at that point? You know, how badly do they want a quarterback? How badly do they want J.J. McCarthy? The Chargers are at five. They don't need a quarterback. They presumably would absolutely choose to move out at that point. Maybe grab Joe Alt, maybe grab an offensive lineman, right? You got options there. But I don't know that they could resist trading back if he's still on the board if somebody wants him. So that's my answer, is five. I think five's the lowest you could go and still be assured of getting the guy you want, J.J. McCarthy. But moving two to five, I think you could cash in. I think good things could happen moving two to five. You could potentially get another first-round pick. You could potentially load up on second-round picks. It could be very profitable to fall in love with J.J. McCarthy and convince yourself he's the guy and bring in the Michigan quarterback. Now, brief reminder on J.J. McCarthy. Won the Natty at Michigan. Great quarterback. And, did everything in the system. The system didn't ask him to do a lot. We don't know what he is. He's the mystery box. Nobody knows what J.J. McCarthy is. Nobody knows what he's going to be capable of. We're still waiting on a lot of that information. He's an unknown going into the NFL. He's interviewing great. People like him. People say he's going to be a star. We don't know that. We don't know that for sure. And so that's a dangerous pick to make. I'd much rather fall in love with Bo Nix or Michael Penix, move all the way down, get yourself a great offensive lineman, load up at that position, get yourself Joe Alt, get yourself Fashanu from Penn State, get yourself a guy who you can build an offensive line around, and then get Penix or Bo Nix if you're playing the let's buy a lottery ticket game. I still think in the end is a lot of talk, and we're going to do a lot of talk in the next 3.5 weeks before this draft. I still think it's a lot of talk, but you have to keep in mind that these guys have not tipped their hand, that all options are on the board. I think ultimately they turn in the card for Jaden Daniels, but the J.J. McCarthy talk is only getting hotter and only getting more interesting. I think ultimately he's not a top five pick. He might not even be a top 10 pick. But if you like the guy, that works in your favor, not to your disadvantage, because you can get out of number two, stockpile, get that offensive line that everybody wants, right? Some dudes wore pig noses a long time ago, and now you got to have an offensive line, got to build in the trenches. You make that fan base happy and make the quarterback fan base happy, That's not a terrible spot to be in as you start a new era. They got options. We'll keep an eye on that, of course, as we near the NFL draft. We're nearing a commercial break, but we're back after this talking all things sports. I want to dive into the Kansas City Stadium vote last night, where they resoundingly gave the Wimby to the Chiefs' hopes of getting $500 million to renovate their stadium. A stunning result, but maybe the start of something good. Back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM. This isn't what I want to talk about in this segment, but because it's out there and people are talking about it, we're talking about the draft, and I've definitively declared on a number of occasions that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this year's draft, period, regardless of position, and I think he is. I think he'll go to Arizona at number four. ESPN's now doing this thing like, is Malik Nabers better? Like, are they going to take Malik Nabers at number four? CBS Sports put out their new mock draft. It's Malik Nabers at number four. Here's what's wild. I don't think Malik Nabers is the second best receiver in the draft. That's Rome Odunze at Washington. It's silly season. Be careful. Be careful out there, everybody. It's silly season. Don't take the bait. Don't bite. Oh, we got, look at this footage of Malik Nabers. He's at the combine. He's running. He's doing his thing. He's off. There's no footage of Marvin Harrison Jr. at the combine. Do you know why? Because he was good enough, he didn't have to. If you're comparing numbers, you're comparing a guy who put up a great combine performance against a guy who did not have to participate in the combine because he's so good and everybody agrees that he'll be such a great pro that he doesn't have to participate in the combine at all. I'm going with that guy. At number four, I'm not backing down off that stance either. Maybe they'll make me look silly on draft night, but I think this one's a lot of noise. I think J.J. McCarthy at two is a lot of noise as well. I think he could go three to New England. He does fit the New England mold in a lot of ways. I think the Commanders could trade down, get him at five, six, seven if they like him. I think this is, you know, that's the game. How far down could you go and still get him? I think the answer is not as far as you think, for sure. Like, I don't think you're going down to 15 and still getting him, but I think there's room to move there that you don't have to take him early on in the draft. All right, top of the hour, Mike Svetitz on Front Page Bets. We love having Mike Svetitz on. He's the man. He's here every Wednesday breaking things down for us. New local news. We're Richmond State. I haven't said yet. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the Free Odyssey app. MP on the mic. I'm MP. I'm Michael. This is the show. Hazel's on the board. Mason's Famous Lobster Rolls is opening a store at Winterfield Crossing in Midlothian. And this isn't about Mason's. This is just about lobster rolls as an institution. I don't get it. I don't get, like, a lot of you love lobster rolls. I don't get it. It's a $14 hot dog, but instead of the hot dog, they put the lobster in it. It's got the spicy mayo. I like that. I don't get lobster rolls. Somebody call in and explain lobster rolls. I've been to Maine. Don't tell me to go to Maine. I've been to Maine. I've eaten the lobster. They're fine. Lobster's fine. The best lobster they have in Maine, they have this thing. It's called the soft shell lobster. So I guess, like, you know, lobster's got the hard shell that you break off when you eat it. It's like, at some point, nature's wild, man. Like this planet or stuff, like, it drops the shell and grows a new shell. And if they, like, harvest the lobster right when it's growing its new shell, that's a soft shell lobster. And that actually was pretty good. But, like, you can only get it in Maine because they can't, travel with them, blah, 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 whatever. The point is, I don't get lobster rolls. It's, one, if you're going to have this gourmet fish delicacy, sure, great. If you feel that way, more power to you, whatever. You know, lobster tail next to your steak, whatever. Why are we putting it on a hot dog bun and slathering it in mayo? If it's as good as everybody says it is, why do we need to slather it in mayo and put it on a hot dog bun? I am out on lobster rolls. You just mark it down. Mark it down. I'm out on lobster rolls. If they were available, like hot dogs are, three for a dollar at Sheetz, I'm back in on lobster rolls. But they're not. Give me a hot dog and a lobster roll might as well be the exact same item. Just a little meat on a bun with some ketchup, some mayo, whatever your sauce is. Sauce, bun, meat. I don't get it. I don't get lobster rolls. That makes me a bad East Coaster. That makes me a bad East Coaster. I get crab. Like, I get seafood. I love seafood. I don't get lobster rolls. What why are we spending $14 on this? If you have that much, and then if you're getting it from Uber Eats now, all of a sudden it's like a $23 lobster roll. It's out of control. The lobster roll market is out of control. Favorite lobster stat? This may be, what sort of, apocryphal when it's not true? I think, maybe. I don't know. This may be not true. Apparently, they used to like serve lobster to prisoners up in New England.
I've heard that.
Okay, good.
Just have so many.
That's very validating. Yeah, just like food for the commoners.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, we decided lobsters were fancy.
I don't know who decided that.
I did not decide that.
Clearly not
I just
you.
Want to be very clear. Wasn't me. Ooh, what if we took this lobster, put it on a hot dog, and sold it for $20?
I'll
love it. That's great. We'll sell a million of those. I went out on a lobster boat in Maine once.
Oh.
Captain Skip.
Oh.
Now, Skip's also the name for Captain.
Right.
So, okay, Captain.
Kind of like a, what is it, chai tea situation?
Chai tea. He was great. So you take us out, like the lobster trap thing is wild. Like you toss them in the water and then you come back and get them a couple days later. And so it's me and my friend Dave. We're right out of college. So, you know, we're just there enjoying the show. We're out on the boat.
And
it's like, so what happens if somebody takes your lobsters out of your traps?
Mm.
And he goes, oh, well, that we're gentlemen out here. Like his traps were like color coded. The other people had their own colors for their traps. That doesn't happen out here. And Dave's like, but what happens when it happens?
Right.
And he goes, all right, it did happen once. And what happened? Well, the guy's boat burned down a couple days later.
Crazy. Doesn't happen anymore.
I'm beginning to understand why it doesn't happen more often.
Gentlemen.
It's a gentleman's sport, fishing for lobster. I wanna go out on the tuna boat sometime out on the Outer Banks.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That looks crazy too. The big mammon jam is mm-hmm. the big show. We gotta talk with Mike Sven. It's frontpagebets.com. That's our guy. He'll be on the line. On the other side, we'll also have your calls. Lots of fun to go in hour number two. Haven't even talked about the numbers are in from the LSU-Iowa women's basketball game, and they were good. A lot of people watched what that means going forward. That and more. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hour number two, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thanks for taking this ride with us. Richmond Kickers winners last night in the U.S. Open Cup, 5-2 over the Maryland Bobcats. They will continue in that tournament. Iowa LSU had 12 million viewers the other night, Monday night on ESPN, which we'll dive into what that means. I'm not a huge fan of like the ratings or everything, because on a micro level, the ratings are nothing. You should always just watch what you enjoy, not what other people are watching. That is my life advice to you. Don't get caught up in that. On a macro level, though, that's huge for women's basketball, women's sports. 12 million viewers for a weeknight game on ESPN that was not a Final Four game either. If Caitlin Clark is in the title game, that number is going to go bananas, obviously. That record will get smashed on Sunday afternoon. If they can survive UConn, which has certainly had its moments in the NCAA tournament over the years. Paige Beckers on the other side. That'll be one of the more fun matchups of this tournament. One of the recent developments on that. Lots of money coming through betting on the women's games as well. It's become almost as prolific as the men's game. We have a betting insider analyst guy on this show. His name's Mike Svetitz. He drops by on Wednesdays, and we're happy to welcome him in for another appearance right now. Mike, good morning. What's up?
Hey, Michael. What's going on, man?
Not too much. It's Final Four time. We're at the end of the road here. I know you had NC State all the way in your bracket, of course, from the get-go, so congrats to you for that. I've heard that this tournament has been good for the public with all the chalk winning.
Yeah, it's been pretty decent as far as there hasn't been other than NC State, and Alabama, who picked them, right? So you've got a couple upsets, but yeah, obviously a lot of people had UConn and Purdue coming out of their brackets. So you've got a lot of if you bet UConn to cover, you've been pretty good the last two tournaments. I think the last 10 NCAA tournament games, they've won by 13 or more in every single one of them in the last 2 years. So, you know, UConn in the points all day, and Purdue's been playing pretty well. The first game came out a little, you know, sluggish. They played some really tight games, and they've been able to do well at the ticket counter and obviously in the brackets. So it's been a good, pretty good March Madness. And I heard you mention the women's game. You know, obviously that was one of the most bet handles of all the books on Monday night for the tournament so far. And if you've bet at Iowa like I did, you made some money.
Going back to UConn, it's hard on the odds makers, right? Because every time you see a line, you're like, well, that's a lot of points. You can't lay that many. They can only make the line but so high. But here we are at, you just no matter how high they set the line, it doesn't even matter anymore.
It doesn't. And, you know, they're 11.5 point favorites right now against Alabama, pretty much consistently across the board. I mean, 11.5 points in a Final Four, you're like, okay, well, that's, you know, Alabama's played tough. They can score. They're one of the top scoring teams in the country. But then, like you said, you're just like, you don't know if you can actually do it. And, you know, they've consistently won. So, and won big by double digits. Again, 13 points or more in the last 10 NCAA tournament games. I mean, that's insane. And so, you know, you got to take that. In Alabama, you know, when does the magic for them and NC State run out? Even though Alabama 4 seed, you're going up against the two, you know, best teams in the country this weekend. And so I'm taking the points for both Purdue and for UConn, because I also think that NC State's, you know, run ends. You know, they've won 9 in a row. It's been amazing. But I don't know if they can match up across the board and consistently match up with a bigger team like Purdue. We saw what Edie was able to do against Tennessee. And you can dispute, you know, the foul calls. I mean, what, he made like 700, you know, points from the free throw line in that game. But again, that's the game plan, right? Throw it to the big guy and let him do work. And even though NC State, you know, they've got the DJs, you know, and those guys are phenomenal athletes. I just don't know if they can match up pound for pound.
Listed at 7'2". Rarely do you get a listed that you're like, I'm not sure if that's right. He might actually be taller.
He's bigger, right? Exactly. You get lighter weight, but you don't normally get. Yeah, I think Zach Edey, I mean, he's a force. But again, if he gets in foul trouble, how's he going to be able to handle DJ Burns and those guys? Is he going to be able to keep up consistently athletically? And so you say that's a battle. Can Purdue's guards make shots when they need to? And that's going to be the difference.
Speaking of listed, do you know what DJ Burns' listed weight is? 275.
Dude, that was probably in, what, high school? There's no way.
I'm prepared to take the over on this one.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. 100%.
I love that everybody's like, oh, he should play in the NFL. Like, anytime you see a big guy in the NBA, you remember Mo Alie-Cox. Like, wow, Mo Alie-Cox, he's so good at VCU. Hope he plays in the NFL.
Yeah. I think DJ Burns could probably play. He could probably play a 3 technique in the NFL and be pretty good at it.
He can move. He runs up and down the court.
He's got great feet. He's got, you know, he's athletic, you know, and again, I don't know, but maybe, you know, the NBA could be calling, because he's a big guy. And, you know, I don't know the last, I'm trying to think of the last guy that was that big. I'm sure there's been 4, but I remember when I was a kid, Demetrius Hill, the meat hook, who played for Florida. He was the guy that everybody was like, man, this dude is great. And, but it's been a fun run to watch NC State. And I didn't think anybody, I didn't know anybody who picked NC State except a friend of mine's wife. She picked them and she showed me her bracket, and legit, she's got NC State winning it all. I wish you could put some money on that before.
I mean, yeah, generally whoever wins the bracket is whoever went to the school that like does the upset and gets there. If you're legit calling that stuff, I mean, good on you.
Absolutely.
They really don't make nicknames like they used to. Meat Hook Hill, Refrigerator Perry. Those were the golden days of nicknaming players.
Absolutely. We all had a nickname growing up too, and some of them we can't repeat on the radio. So.
Mike Svedt, it's frontpagebets.com is the site. I know you got a lot of other stuff cooking too. You had a little Tour de NASCAR because you were out at some races here. Catch me up to speed on that.
Well, Richmond Raceway is one of my favorites. Obviously, not just because we live in Richmond, but it's a great track. It's a great time. out there. You know, Bristol was amazing 2 weeks ago. And then this weekend they're in Martinsville. The NASCAR Cup Series is in Martinsville. So three races in the state of Virginia, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, in 4 weeks. Denny Hamlin's won the first two. He won Bristol. He won it at Richmond. You know, so he's obviously from Chesterfield. You know, it's been a pretty good time if you're a NASCAR driver from Virginia and for the sport. It's been fun to be out there and kind of being involved in that. You know, NASCAR's embraced sports betting pretty much from the jump. Them and the PGA Tour have been the first two and really the only two so far that have really embraced it. They've hired people to kind of, you know, be that the liaisons between, you know, the sports books and the betting public and the media. And it's been really good to see. And it's not just because of that, but I mean, you know, NASCAR, grew up watching NASCAR, been to a lot of different races all over the country. And it's just, it's fun. And once you get to kind of, you get that bug, you get out there. And what Lori Warren's doing at Richmond Raceway has been amazing and awesome. And just the people and the vibe that's out there. We had a good time Easter Sunday night, even though it was Easter Sunday, you know, it was a little late. I got there. I was like, man, it's past my bedtime. Started. But it was great. And and so they're at Martinsville this weekend. And Denny Hamlin's the favorite there. And, you know, if you bet Denny Hamlin the last couple of weeks, you've made some money as well.
There you go. Exactly. And a little overtime under the lights in Richmond. Yep. They'll be back this summer for the August race, back under the lights, I believe.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, obviously you love to see the drama. And, you know, Martin Truex was not happy with a couple different drivers at the end of that race. And, you know, Denny Hamlin jumped the restart. And, you know, it's fun. It's you know, when stuff like that happens, you're kind of like, okay, this is what NASCAR is founded on. You know, drivers just being, you know, cocky and out there, you know, not caring really, you know, who's on their team at the end of the day. They just want to win, and it's fun, and it's great for the fans. It's great for TV, and it makes good drama, which all sports, you know, that's what make them. You know, if you talk about good drama, you know, the LSU-Iowa women's basketball game on Monday night, all the drama that surrounded that game coming in from the last, you know, from the last year. So people want to tune in to watch it, man. Get your popcorn ready.
There you go. Good on you for rolling with Caitlin Clark. I didn't. I thought LSU was going to win, and they might have if Angel Reese hadn't got hurt. I will stand by that. You can have your win. I'm calling it a technicality, as losers do, right? Have to make an excuse for the loss.
That's it. It was a great game, man. And I'll tell you what, and Caitlin Clark, you know, 41 points, she had 12 assists. Angel Reese and that entire LSU team, you know, is just great basketball players, and Iowa as well. I know some of those players get overshadowed by what Caitlin Clark does, but when she's making like 57% of her threes from like 25 feet or longer, I saw a stat on that on ESPN. I mean, that's insane. Like, it's just like, you know, what was it? Haley Van Leith. We saw that meme of her, you know, just putting her arms up, like, I don't know what else I can do.
What can you do?
Caitlin Clark's making it from the parking lot.
Just shrug. What can you do? It's so it's bracket season. The newspaper ran the best fried chicken bracket. Mama J's won, so that was correct. Mm-hmm. That was a correct outcome. We're running the best burger bracket over here. Any burgers you want to shout out in Richmond?
Oh man, there's a lot of good. I like Jack Brown's burgers are really good. Who's winning, by the way? Do we figure out the Kerrytown burger gate, or are we still?
So here's how Kerrytown Burgers got resolved. They're temporarily closed for renovations. So we tossed them on the grounds. We were going to have a taste off. You can't have a taste off with a place that's not serving burgers.
That's true.
So we kind of ducked we came to the conclusion that vote stuffing is good, but you have to be serving a burger to win.
You got to be in the race. Yeah, you
must
gotta
be present
gotta be
to win
the race. To win it, correct.
I don't think they're racing to win right now. I think what is it in NASCAR? The driving park. You drive a lap, park, collect your check, move on to the next race. They're doing a driving park, Mike. That's what was going on.
There we go. But yeah, the best burger, I think Jack Brown's. Maybe it's just because they were the most. You know, I just had them recently. Is pretty good burgers. I don't know your favorite, Michael. You've been here longer than I have. You've got a little bit more.
I love all the fan places you go to late at night, right? Curbside and those crew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I don't know if those are like gourmet speaking the best, but I know they hit the best at the right time.
Yeah, anything. Well, I mean, at 2 a.m., you know, Waffle House hits pretty good too. So
exactly. All right, Mike Svets, anything you want to tell us about what's going on at frontpagebets.com these days?
Yeah, we got obviously the Final Four this weekend, the women's and the men's Final Four starting up on Friday. Then we've got NASCAR Martinsville this weekend, the Masters next week. We've got Major League Baseball, NBA. I mean, it's that time of the year where you got, you know, four or five different sports going on. And we're excited about it and can't wait to see what happens with the Masters. You know, we just posted our long shot odds for the Masters today. Tiger Woods, you know, so far is going to play in it. You know, he's one of the most bet athletes on the planet, you know, and everybody, you know, I think he's plus 2,500 odds. No, I'm sorry, plus 20,000 odds for him to win. You know, you lay a buck on that, you know what I mean? It might be worth it. So check it out at Front Page Bets. We got all the sports, all the picks, and all of our betting partners, all the sports books you can handle.
You're the man. All right, Mike Svetitz, always appreciate the time. We got to bounce back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Rolling along on a Wednesday morning, 11:18. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Live worldwide on the Odyssey app. Let's waste no time getting to it. We got breaking news.
Breaking news on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, powered by Odyssey, is brought to you by BetQL.
The Buffalo Bills are trading four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for draft pick compensation, per Adam Schefter, citing sources telling ESPN. So Stephon Diggs goes to the Texans. I love this deal, first off, for the Texans, who beat expectations last year, and that's a winnable division, right? Nobody in that division screaming like you need to slow your roll, need to move in slowly on this kind of thing. I think they can absolutely continue their hot streak next year. It's never a given, though. Give C.J. Stroud a weapon. Give him another guy to throw the ball to. You're playing with fire with Stephon Diggs because he's got the diva to him. Everybody's seen that. But he's as good as they get, and if he's available and you can land him, I think that's an incredibly smart deal for the Houston Texans to bring him in. For the Bills, this is less great. $31.1 million in dead cap space on Stephon Diggs. They'll be able to kick that over the next 2 years, so it won't cripple them. It's an acknowledgement, right? We talked about it during the playoffs. The Patrick Mahomes broke a lot of teams, and none more so than the Buffalo Bills, who got to host the game. This was the year they were going to get over the hump. They didn't, and they're back at the drawing board with a whole lot of frustration. And I think you've got to make a big move like this. You've got to reset. You've got to get younger. You've got to get some draft picks. Josh Allen will have a second window. Josh Allen's not at the twilight of his career by any stretch. He's got a lot of football left in him. I think it makes sense if you feel this team as constructed can't get over that Patrick Mahomes hump, can't win the Super Bowl, you're maxed out on cap space, you're kicking stuff down the road, all that happens. I don't disagree with saying we got to make big moves, we got to get younger, we got to reset, we got to get guys in here who can get us going that way. So here's your Texans offense right now as it stands entering the 2024 season. C.J. Stroud at quarterback, Joe Mixon at running back, Dalton Schultz at tight end, your three starting receivers, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell. Woo! That's a pretty good roster right there. That's pretty formidable as Houston looks to take their next step. They rebuilt really, really quickly there. What they were able to do. Got two of the three top picks in the draft. Loaded up on top talent. That's the downside of that is you're going to hear that all offseason with regard to the Commanders too, right? Houston did it. Why can't the Commanders do it? Why can't they make the playoffs next? You're like, everybody take a deep breath. There's no guarantees you get that good of a quarterback in there, that good of a pass rusher in there right away. I also think if the Commanders were to trade back in, which I love them doing, and grab a second marquee player, I don't think it's a defensive player. I think it's a left tackle. I think that's what you're coming back into the first round for. I don't think you're doing it for an edge rusher. And they don't have that elite edge rusher, that elite piece on their roster right now. They don't have the linebacking core that can sustain a Super Bowl run yet. This is a defense that will get better next year, but this isn't a defense that we're talking about Super Bowls or playoffs or anything like that with these guys next year, especially in the division they're in too, right? I love it for Houston because Jacksonville was fine this year. Trevor Lawrence, I like him as a quarterback. Is he going to make that step? I don't know. Indy, has Anthony Richardson got hurt? That's a big question mark right there. And who knows what's going on in Tennessee with the Titans? That's losing Mike Vrabel. I'm not sure they've got a plan there for that. Commanders started offseason work yesterday. Players are doing interviews today, press conferences today. If and when something interesting happens, we'll fire that up for you here on 910 The Fan so you can hear that live. But last night, two nights ago, Monday night, LSU Iowa, the numbers came in. 12 million people watched LSU play Iowa in the women's basketball game the other night. Obviously, phenomenal showing for women's basketball, for the sport, for everything going on there and what they're building. Now, this is, I get in this debate with our guy Chris Russell up in D.C. all the time. He's a, like, he cares deeply about the ratings. Like, it hurts him that more people don't watch NHL hockey and the Stanley Cup, but all that. He just, the ratings aren't accurate and you can't believe that stuff. And, like, and they've been doing this for 50 years. I don't know if they're 100% accurate, but they're pretty dang accurate. I could say anecdotally, a lot of people watched women's basketball Monday night. The numbers came out. What do you know? They show a lot of people watch women's basketball. My thing is always, watch what you like. Like, why does it bother you if something gets a bad rating or gets a good? Like, did you enjoy it? Was it on television? Great. Keep watching. Now, if you like a scripted show, you kind of have to hang on that a little bit because they'll cancel it or, you know, they won't renew it for another season. But generally speaking, they're going to keep playing sports. Hockey only got a 0.7 rating. That's nonsense. Like, did you enjoy it? Did you have fun watching? Great. They'll probably broadcast it again next time they play. They'll play more of these. They'll put more of them on TV. Don't worry about it. But this 12 million number, I think, stands for something bigger than the number itself. That was bigger than any NBA Finals game last year and bigger than any World Series game last year, the LSU-Iowa number. And I think they're on pace to smash that Sunday afternoon for the title game, assuming you get South Carolina in there, you get some juice. I think whether it's UConn or Iowa, it's got the chance to set the record. We all know if it's Iowa, it's Caitlin Clark. That's what TV wants. That's the sure thing. That's what everybody will watch. But it, you know, I think this is South Carolina's tournament to lose. I think it has been since the beginning. But we got a fun matchup Friday night. I don't know that Friday night's got a chance to break the record because Friday night's historically a dead time in TV, which gives me another opportunity to point out they need to move this thing back 3 weeks. It's not rocket science. Play the men's final and have that night be bracket reveal, right? The men's final tips off at 9:20 p.m. Do the women's bracket at 8. Reveal it. We're starting next weekend. Play the men's final. We're going 3 weeks of women's basketball. Every game gets watched. Every game is part of the March Madness instead of hiding behind the other tournament that's always going to get a ton of run and a ton of pop. I'm the only person in America that's managed to figure this out, apparently. It's not hard. You've got a product people want in a month where nothing happens in the entire world of sports. Just slide it down. I would watch that over baseball 10 times out of 10. And I like baseball, but that's what I would do. All right, we're going to step aside. We'll take an early break here. We'll get back. We'll talk football. We'll talk baseball. Bryce Harper, 3 home runs last night. You hate to acknowledge it, but the kid's playing pretty well out there. Another former Nat, Juan Soto, playing very well as well. This overinflated basketball controversy in Dallas continues to amuse me. We'll dig in on that. And I learned something yesterday about the Amazon self-checkout that I need to share with the world, and I'm going to do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Let's make MP on the mic history right now. I don't think we've ever done this before. I don't think we've ever done back-to-back breaking news segments where it's two different breaking newses, right? Like Dan Quinn was hired, we were breaking news mode. But I think we're going back-to-back breaking news.
Breaking news on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, powered by Odyssey, is brought to you by BetQL.
White smoke coming out of Blacksburg. Hey-o. We got a double breaking news sounder there. It's double the fun. Megan Duffy is the new women's basketball coach at Virginia Tech. That's announced this morning. She'll be introduced Friday morning in Blacksburg. Doesn't appear she has ties to the Hokies. Looking at her resume here, and we'll dive into this deeper as the show goes on. Megan Duffy was Marquette's coach and has been Marquette's coach for a while. Back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances the last 2 years, 2023 and 2024. 5 years at Marquette, 110-46 overall record, including a winning mark in Big East play. So we have a coach in Blacksburg. Megan Duffy, your new head of the Virginia Tech Hokies women's basketball team. We'll have to get Shaka on the show to break this down for us out of Marquette. I'm sure he would love to spend some time with us here on 910 The Fan. Whit Babcock, Virginia Tech Athletic Director, we got the press release here. She's a proven winner and committed to continuing our women's basketball program's momentum. I am confident Hokie Nation will embrace and support Megan as we enter the next chapter of Virginia Tech women's basketball. Megan Duffy, she's got her work cut out for her. Hope she's bringing some athletes with her. That's part of the coaching search these days, right? Who's got a team they can bring with them? Who's got some transfer action? Who's got a Max Shulga? Who's got a Sean Bairstow? Hopefully she's bringing a Max and a Sean with her to reload at Virginia Tech. Georgia Amore dipped into the portal, and I'd say it's a portal world right now, and I got to think Kenny Brooks is going to take some players with him as he leaves for Kentucky. So her work's cut out for her, but Megan Duffy, your new head coach for Virginia Tech women's basketball, will bring you portions of that press conference on Friday morning. So 9 a.m., that'll be before we get on the air, but we'll make sure to bring that to you, the highlights of that, as Megan Duffy is introduced as the new Virginia Tech women's basketball head coach. A little back-to-back breaking news this morning. Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans in the 11:15 hour. Megan Duffy, new women's basketball coach at Virginia Tech in the 11:30 hour. It's an eventful Wednesday program. Never know what you're going to get around here. MP on the mic. Appreciate you guys joining us on a Wednesday morning. Phone lines remain open if you want to weigh in. 833-804-0910. But back to business. Here's what I learned yesterday that stunned me. You know, Amazon's got the stores where you walk in, grab whatever you want, and then leave, and it just charges you,
yeah,
right, like magic. And I think we all just assume, like, Amazon's doing it, so it's magic.
Yeah.
Amazon announced they are shutting down their grab-and-go stores. They're phasing out the concept.
And why is that?
Well, it's not because people weren't using them. It's because, Hazel, and this is fascinating to me, that it's not technology-driven. And it never was.
There's no AI in this?
There's no AI in this. They had 1,000 employees in India who were watching people shop on closed circuit TV and then ringing up their orders based on what they grabbed. When you went into the Amazon store, like, somebody in India got assigned to watch you and see what you grabbed and then ring up your bill and send it to you at the end.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's not the future. That's just low-paid overseas labor replacing checkout people. That's very different.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird.
That's also the least efficient way humanly possible to do that, right? Like, there's self-checkout. I grumble about self-checkout, but it creates... this isn't more efficient. This is somebody whose job is to watch a TV monitor of you shopping and write down everything you take. And, like, no wonder you couldn't trick it, because it wasn't trickable. It was just a dude. It was just a dude.
A dedicated dude watching me buy my groceries.
Or a woman. I don't know.
Right.
It could be either. But just somebody watching you as you shopped the whole time. That's not technology at all.
That's not technology.
No.
And they're phasing it out?
I can see what their goal. So their goal was, when they launched, that this was like a temporary measure while they perfected the technology. Mm. Their goal was, out of every 1,000 sales, that only 50 of them would have to be reviewed in India. They got it to the point where, out of every 1,000 sales, they only had to review 700 of them in India.
Oh,
that's the best they were able to get the technology. We're always sold a bill of good on these things, right?
Uh-huh.
This is it. Crypto's the future. ChatGPT's the future. Everything's the future. And then, like, 3 months later, it's like, yeah, just kidding. It's just the old thing with a fancier name.
Just guys in India.
It's just guys in India watching you shop. That's all it is. You trust these companies because they're big, but that's not a good reason to trust these companies.
Maybe it's a reason to not trust these companies.
It might be a reason to not trust these companies. Hazel might be onto something.
Getting to the bottom of it here.
You're getting to the bottom of some stuff here on MP on the mic. This overinflated basketball controversy continues to flare up as well. So if you missed this, this guy posted online, he's like, I'm a basketball expert, you know, blah, blah, blah. I work with NBA players. And that I Googled him. That did check out. He does work with NBA players. He said he was watching the games in Dallas, and the basketball was too springy. He thought he was bouncing too high.
Okay.
He suspects the balls were overinflated. Wouldn't you know, shooting in Dallas was 11 percentage points lower than everywhere else.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think the NCAA just cannot get this stuff right. They're chronically incapable.
It's pretty unfortunate.
Of getting this stuff right. It is unfortunate because these are the big... We're playing with lopsided three-point lines and overinflated basketballs in the biggest games of the year. And there's a, trust us. Yeah, trust us. We're the NCAA. We can run a tournament. You can't run a tournament. Like, no wonder everybody wants to break away from it.
Yeah.
No wonder everybody wants to start their own new thing. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'll say. I mean, it delivered, right? NC State, Duke. There was drama. There was excitement. You would say, though, an overinflated basketball would favor NC State. It would favor a team with a big guy that could just drop the ball in the basket. It would favor an underdog in that situation. Although, when the NCAA disappears, it'll be because of football. And NC State and Duke will be wiped off the map because they don't have big enough fan bases for football.
You know what that's good for, Michael?
Here. What's that good for?
It's good for the under.
The under hit in all three Dallas games. Do you have an overall record this tournament, right?
33-27.
Is that enough to beat the VIG?
I think so, but slightly.
Slightly.
I mean, that's what's crazy about this story is I read it too, and I thought, why weren't all the games unders? Because, I thought he was crazy at first, and then like I realized when I'm watching a lot of games, I've been watching a lot of bricks. And I thought maybe it was just because teams were shooting too many threes, but like he's got a point. I mean, Marquette went like 0 of 17 in one point.
Guys just don't forget how to shoot. Especially like sometimes at the Final Four when they're in the football stadium, like you're like, oh, their depth perception's off or whatever. These are still basketball stadiums.
Yeah.
We're still playing in the basketball stadium. So you're riding the unders and it's working.
Yeah, and Alex Caravan of UConn, I talked about yesterday, came out in a podcast and said, oh, yeah, the balls definitely feel overflate.
That's right. Guys are coming out. Right. Yeah, and they know.
And he's still in the tournament, so it's not like he's you know, upset because I was defeated.
He plays for UConn. He's going to win the title, cut down the net.
Well, I will say, though, he's been scoring 7 points below his average, and it's pissing me off because I have him in my player draft. But, like, he's got a point there. He's a three-point shooter, and he's not making his shots.
And we've adjusted for all the variables. The team's doing well. He's winning, and... He feels it's off.
Yeah.
And if you feel it's off, that's like that does it for you immediately.
Oh,
like,
yeah. And the highlights that the guy was showing aren't just shots, but also sometimes they're over dribbling, right? And it's bouncing over them and they're losing possession. It's creating a lot of turnovers and havoc.
That's the least charitable use of havoc ever there, right? That's the havoc you don't want there. Havoc with the ball bouncing around. The NCAA and just I mean, so many things get imposed on the NCAA, right? This transfer problem and eligibility problems and portal problems. But they do so much to botch it themselves, too. And I could, like, just break football off and let football be its thing. But then you got to get competent leadership taking over basketball. Because there's so much potential here. It's the greatest event, you know, greatest single sporting event going on over a month-long time. I can't think of a better tournament than the NCAA basketball tournament. And it seems every year, all we talk about is some stupid little thing that's happening along the way. All right, if you missed the top of the segment, Virginia Tech women's basketball has a new head coach, Megan Duffy, coming after 5 years at Marquette, back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances. She'll be introduced formally in Blacksburg on Friday morning, so the real work begins now. As Virginia Tech, right? Every time there's a coaching change, we say, hey, it's not a guarantee of future success. Past performance doesn't mean future results. But in this case, it really doesn't mean that because Virginia Tech is losing the core of that group that put it on the map, got to the Final Four last year, and then obviously a tough finish this year with the loss to Baylor in the round of 32. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll do a little crosstalk with AWOD. We'll put a bow on this thing. We'll get you ready for 3 hours of AWOD radio, live and local. All that on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. What's up, MP on the mic? I'm MP. This is the Mike. This is the show. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Very glad today's not solar eclipse day, because we'd miss it. We'd miss out. All this hype. School's out early. Wouldn't get to see. Hopefully the sun will be out next. I just realized something. That's also, is it Monday or Tuesday? It's Monday. It's Monday.
It's Monday.
Oh, I was going to say, we'll be at the Diamond.
Oh.
But we're at the Diamond on Tuesday for Flying Squirrel's opening.
And it's in the afternoon.
They should, I mean, don't let me tell Parney how to do his job.
Yeah.
Or the crew that's doing the job down there now, Oppo and them. But Eclipse Baseball, there's something there.
Ooh.
There's something there, right? Play a game mid-eclipse.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
There's something to that.
They should talk to the Mayans. I think they have a game like that.
I think that's a high stakes game. If I remember my social studies, and I think I do. I think I remember what happens to the losers of that game, and I don't think it's very sportsmanlike. I don't think it's very kind.
Well, every sport needs an update every once in a while.
You gotta freshen it up from time to time. That's absolutely right. Their calendar's over though, right? Remember when the world was gonna end? There was a group. When you work at the paper, mm-hmm. goofy things happen all the time. And there was like a group that came in and was like, you have to write about the world ending. And like they had a big truck and they parked it in front of the building and had pamphlets and everything. Like, Mayan calendar's ending. The world's ending. Whenever that was, like 10, 15 years ago.
Now,
spoiler, if you have a DVR, the world did not end.
Allegedly. I've heard people say we switched timelines when the Mayan calendar ended.
I want out. I'd like a fresh one, please. So, sign me up for a fresh one. I'm in. Kansas City voted yesterday on spending $1 billion to build a new baseball stadium downtown for the Kansas City Royals and to gut and renovate Arrowhead Stadium, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, back in the day, this would have been an absolute slam dunk home run, choose your metaphor. It's a town that, you know, needs sports as part of its identity, right? It's not a town that's so big you can't threaten to move out of there. Because when sometimes there's like, what was it, the Chicago Bears, and they're working on, they're like, you know, well, maybe we'll move the team. Like, haha, no, you won't. You're in Chicago. Like, no, you won't. There's certain cities you can't do that in. D.C. Like, they've got all the leverage they ever need, but Josh Harris can't be like, build me a new stadium or I'll move the team somewhere else. Like, no, you won't, buddy. We know you won't. That's a bluff, and we know you won't move the team. Ted Leonsis has had that, of course, in D.C. But Kansas City's a city small enough, and the Royals have moved out of there, and there have been teams. The Sacramento Kings did a stint there. The Oakland A's did a stint there. Teams have come and gone. It wouldn't be a hollow threat to move. So back in the day, these are the things, and the Chiefs are coming off back-to-back Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes is doing commercials for this thing. It feels like a layup. Not only was it rejected last night, we talked about this yesterday because I was very curious how this was going to pan out. The polls were showing a 50-50 split, that it was going to be very close, 50-50, whether to approve, you know, a new sales tax to pay for the new stadiums. It wasn't close. They rejected it 58-42, which in politics is a monster number. That's not close. That's a resounding no. And that gets me excited, because I think you're seeing a lot of dissatisfaction these days. Oakland A's had 3,600 people at their game the other day. Not a misspeak there. 3,600 people, right? That's the Squirrels do better than that at the Diamond in Richmond, Virginia, because they're moving to Vegas because they got all the tax money to build a nice new stadium on the Strip in Las Vegas. But nobody voted on that. Las Vegas, they don't have laws. They just do like they do whatever they want to do, and the money gets spent. You know, kind of got the mob mentality there. And I think there was a lot of that arrogance baked into the Alexandria Arena project with Ted Leonsis as well. And I hope we're maybe coming to a point where we're finally starting to reject these things. To reject these arguments, you have to spend your tax money to build a sports stadium. That's the only way to do it. I just don't think, in one, that's not true. It's fundamentally not true. And number two, if enough places like Kansas City say no enough times, eventually the momentum will die out and everybody will feel empowered to say no, which is why I think it's an important vote and an important moment. We didn't play this yesterday. Ted Leonsis, he was on the Front Office Sports podcast. This is him talking about what went wrong in Virginia, why the arena didn't happen. Here's Ted Leonsis.
You know, words are important. And when we talked about Virginia initially, we said we had reached agreement on a framework of a development, and I hadn't signed anything. I want to reiterate that it's highly unusual, right? That you don't sign anything, you have a handshake. And the governor told us that he was bringing the business plan to a group called MEI, which is all the delegates who look at all the financial impact, tax implications for the state. And that they were a very important group, and that if they signed off on it 100% of the time, the deals got approved. And, you know, that's why he wanted us to have this press conference. But, you know, I'll remind everybody that there was still a lot of work to do.
One, words are important is just an incredibly rich statement to come out of that guy's mouth. Like, that just makes you shudder a little bit. Like, that guy lecturing people on the importance of words? Come on now. You cannot be serious. That's insane that he would choose to do that in front of a microphone, knowing full well how everybody will respond to that. Number two, though, right, he took that his buddy Glenn Youngkin said, I got this. Don't worry about this. I got this for you. And his buddy Glenn Youngkin didn't have it, it turned out. And there was a lot of opposition to it and a lot of opposition in the neighborhood to it. And a lot of people who I think very rightly thought, why would we pick up a $2 billion tab for these guys when they could just build the stadium 15 minutes away? We could pay $0, go in on the metro, or pay for parking and go enjoy the games, which makes a ton of sense to me. But Ted Leonsis is right, the words are important. We thought we had, like, these guys, these owners, feel entitled to this money. They feel like what they are doing the community a favor by existing. And I will not deny the power of sports to bring a community together. I love the power of sports to bring the community together. That's why we do a two-hour radio show about sports every single day on a sports radio station. I'm a huge believer in that. But we also talked yesterday about this trend towards premium experiences, right? It's getting more expensive to go to a game. There's more suites at a game. There's more high-level things. Those things don't build community. Those things build wealth for the people who own the stadiums. That's not a benefit to the community at all, building more suites in your stadium. That's a benefit to you, the owner. And you can pick up the tab for that and have fun with that. If you just want a bowl with a bunch of seats where everybody can come together, pay $10, watch sports, I think we should build that for you. I think Richmond should build the Squirrels a stadium. I think they should get off their butts and build it today. I think today's a great day. I think yesterday was a better day. Today's a great day too, though. Tomorrow's worse. If they want to wait until tomorrow, stall, I think that's worse than just getting it done today. Yesterday was best, though. Should have done it yesterday. Those are important. Civic functions, right? Nobody's making billions of dollars off of the Richmond Flying Squirrels stadium that I'm aware of. If they are, I'll change my tune. I'll be against it. I don't think anybody's making billions of dollars off of that. We're talking now about luxury boxes and premium experiences and things. I don't think the people should have to pick up that tab. And good on the people of Kansas City for being like, yeah, get out of here. Like, they're calling the bluff. Like, well, we might move to another city. Yeah, have fun. Like, we need more cities to say that. We need more cities to stand and be like, no, what we actually need is congressional legislation that says no tax money for stadiums. That won't happen, of course. That's a dream world. All right, let's sneak this in before the break. Odyssey Oceanfront Concert, the AOC. Don't worry, it's not to be confused with the House Representative. The AOC, the Odyssey Oceanfront Concert. We're giving away a pair of tickets. This is April 26th through 28th at the Virginia Beach Boardwalk. NLE Choppa and Juicy J, your headliners. Great night of hip-hop. Should be a fantastic concert out there on the Virginia Beach Boardwalk. April 26th through 28th. Pair of tickets. First caller right now. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. That's the phone number, 833-804-0910. Back with more after this. You're listening to MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.